This show is powered by BL3P, the Lightning-enabled European Bitcoin exchange.
Connect the build.
Lyle Pratt, Vida, Texas.
Is holding your own private keys easy enough for the great majority?
Yes.
Did you succeed to row 5,000 meters in under 20 minutes already?
No.
Fayetteville, the second largest city in Arkansas, the county seat of Washington County, and the biggest city in northwest Arkansas. The city is on the outskirts of the Boston Mountains, deep within the Ozarks. Is this the place where you would love to retire?
No.
Do you prefer to go out for kite surfing over surfing behind your boat?
No.
Jiu-jitsu is a family of Japanese martial arts and a system of close combat that can be used in a defensive or offensive manner. Do you know the term jiu-jitsu is derived from two Japanese characters? Jiu means gentle or soft, indicating the art's principle of using an opponent's force against them, and jitsu means art or technique.
Yes.
Is it a dream to team up with the UFC and integrate Vida into their events?
Yes.
Texans take their barbecue very seriously. The state is famous for its mouth-watering barbecue traditions, which vary by region. Central Texas-style barbecue, characterized by slow-cooked meats and simple seasoning, is particularly renowned. Do you barbecue every single day?
No.
Did you pay for a physical good using Bitcoin last week?
No.
After nearly 20 months of recovery from broken bones in his leg, suffering during a 2021 loss to Dustin Poirier, Conor McGregor will be back in the cage later this year. And welcoming him back will be multi-time Bellator lightweight champion and UFC star Michael Chandler. Will the Notorious win the fight?
No.
Are you Satoshi Nakamoto?
No.
Welcome to the Connect the World weekly podcast. I'm Edward.
And I'm Steph. We are ready to take you with us into the beautiful world of the Lightning Network.
Enjoy the ride.
This is episode 78 of Connect the World, and this show is made possible by our friends from BL3P, the European Bitcoin exchange founded by Bitonic. Thank you guys for helping us out with our mission. And if you also want to help out, then hit us up on Telegram group and you can ask us everything. And of course, you can subscribe to our content on YouTube or any other platform that you prefer. So get into our world, and of course a donation is always welcome. Let's head over to the highlights, Steph.
Yes, let's do it.
Conectează lumea.
Because this week, well, last week we had bringing in the show, and this week bringing is the highlight, which we also want to show to our listeners what it is, because bringing is a Bitcoin payment company. For those who don't know it, they're building products to make spending Bitcoin convenient for users, and UX, beautiful UX, is very important for them. The core requirements of a good market is considered as money is widely accepted in exchange for goods or services, and Bringing is working towards making Bitcoin fulfill this. They found that very important because in European merchants, for European merchants, it's difficult to use it like they would love to, and making it unspendable for users. And they want to do all this without requiring the user to give any custody of their Bitcoin or their fiat, which they consider to be one of the core propositions of their product. So Bringing allows you to pay Lightning invoices and get euros instantly and safely into your bank account from any wallet. And it also allows you to pay a Lightning input to get a one-time usable virtual debit card. And that's very interesting to make purchases online. I will show you. And
I hear you say euros. That means Lau can't use it, right?
No, it's a dirty word.
We learned last week that they are focusing on the European market because we now have a new. The regulatory here is now very clear. So every European country has the same law they abide. We learned from them that in the States, every state apart has its own regulatory stuff, right? Lyle, is that correct?
Yes, unfortunately, it is correct. You know, every state is different, and applying for the licenses across all of the states is a giant pain.
Yeah,
I can imagine.
And is it also something that you're stumbled upon with FIDA, or is it not that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, honestly, right now we're kind of trying to decide, you know, what approach we want to take, and you know, what states we want to prioritize, mm-hmm. and like, there's a whole it's a whole ordeal. We've actually hired some consultants to sort of help us manage it because it's so complex.
Yeah, I can imagine. And well, yeah, but is it also then if you hear that in Europe that we all have like the same law? Is it something for you guys to focus on then, the region here, or are you guys still now focusing on America?
Yeah, I guess, you know, for now we are focused on the US market, but, you know, that could change at any time. The regulatory landscape is constantly changing, and, you know, perhaps this change in Europe would, you know, point us in a new direction. It's hard to say.
Yeah. And the fun thing is, we also discussed this last week, but normally it's the other way around, right? We are always looking to the States, the things you guys do. We always want to implement the stuff you guys do here in Europe. And now it's the other way around. And the fun thing is that the guys from Bringin, they started the company and they were like, okay, let's just focus on Europe because things are clear there. So is it also something that you think that is keeping companies out of the States now with these uncertainties?
I think it's a huge tax on innovation, you know, in the space, especially in the Lightning space. Hopefully we do get some clarity, but I don't have, you know, a lot of hope or confidence that will happen anytime soon, unfortunately.
That's sad, man.
Yeah,
it's sad. And then will your dream then become true then that you can integrate VIDA into the UFC events? Is that something that's realistic to dream?
Yeah, I do think it is realistic, but there's always a constant struggle of, you know, spending precious developer resources on, you know, going deeper into a non-custodial product. You know, versus spending time and money to, you know, go down this, you know, this regulatory regime or go deeper into this regulatory process that is essentially only applicable to, you know, custodians. So, you know, pretty much every Lightning app, is facing this dilemma now.
Yeah.
Being compliant and being able to offer an extremely easy onboarding path, you know, for a mm-hmm. user that knows nothing about the Lightning Network or about even Bitcoin, I think is really important. You know, we have to have bridges for users, but again, you know, in the long term, you know, we want to enable non-custodial use on our platform. So it is kind of a struggle right now, especially when, you know, it's quite expensive to, you know, to get completely compliant across all 50 states.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, Edward,
doesn't matter.
I'm asking all the questions now, but the thing is, I also love to watch the UFC, so there are some things triggering me.
But yeah, of course.
Is it easily How is it for you, being the owner of a platform like VIDAA? Is it something you think about? Well, this is easily we are going to. Is it possible to easily integrate it into something like the pay-per-view things that the UFC is offering, or is it still a big hassle for you guys?
Yeah, no, it's really not technically difficult, you know, to do that. You know, today our live streams are still fairly simplistic in that you can set a rate, you know, or not on a live stream, and that rate is a permanent rate. But one of the big things we've been working on that tons of people have asked for is ticketed events.
Yeah.
You know, so that you could essentially, you know, charge a one-time fee, you know, for a particular event, like a, you know, like a UFC fight or like a, you know, a live streamed conference, you know, or something like that. So we are working on ticketed events. One of the downsides to ticketed events is, you know, it kind of requires a custodian to facilitate it. Mm-hmm. One of the upsides of like a live streamed, you know, permanent payment is that it doesn't necessarily, you know, require a custodian, you know, so, you know, there are advantages and disadvantages, but, you know, when you're building a startup, you have to, you know, go to what your users are actually asking for and not, you know, try not to be too idealistic about, you know, what you think users should want.
Okay. Well, sorry, Edward. We're still in the highlight part, and we haven't even finished that one. So let's finish
Roman
that first.
Roman is going to cut it out. No,
I'm so sorry, man.
No. This is interesting. I would say, well, for those who are interested in bringing it, just check it out and use it for your Bitcoin. It's really easy to use, and I'm interested in what everybody. Likes about it. So let's continue, Steph.
<That's>
All right.
Connect the word.
Yeah. Welcome again, Lyle. And the questions were very interesting, right? I was thinking, you said you didn't pay for for a physical good using Bitcoin last week.
He was doubting.
I think, Steph,
there was some doubt in his eyes. I mean,
yeah, because you don't ask this. This question is from you, and I think you read something somewhere.
No, I don't know. I saw that Lyle is a big barbecue fan. I mean, as I said, I was searching his digital history and Twitter account, and, you know, and digging deep, and all I could find is him sitting on his porch, and then with the dog, obviously, but also barbecuing like every night, in my opinion. So, and I saw that you bought your meat at a specific place where you can buy where you can pay with Bitcoin. So I was like, well,
I can't see.
Yeah. So I was like, maybe you bought some stuff from them last week.
Yeah, I was actually traveling last week, so I didn't get to buy any KNC beef. But you know, KNC is actually great. They, you know, they're an Austin-based company. It's kind of a group of ranchers. I could be wrong about some of these details, but I think I have the gist right. It's kind of a group of ranchers who have gotten together. And they've created something called the Beef Initiative.
Yeah, that's we talked to Adam Curry about it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. Same deal. So the guys that at KNC, you know, are a part of that initiative. You know, they regularly attend, you know, the Bitcoin Commons, you know, space and some of the events. Sometimes they, you know, they cater some of those events. But it, I mean, it's awesome. I get to buy high quality, you know, local farm raised beef, and they deliver it right to my door, and I can pay for it with Bitcoin.
Amazing.
I think the last event I went to, I think they had done something like $1 million in sales of their beef just in the Austin area with Bitcoin.
Oh, really?
You know, so that is quite a significant amount, more than I would have guessed. You know. Over the past 9 months, as I think,
that's
I
crazy,
think
man.
What the time was. So, you know, pretty cool to have access to that here for sure.
Cool, man. Yeah. As I said, we talked to Adam Curry about it. He was also very hyped to sell the initiative going, and 1 million. Can do you think Adam can order 1 million of beef in 9 months, Edward? No, right?
Maybe with some parties that he's hosting. But no.
Yeah, maybe. Is that the only thing you can buy using Bitcoin in your neighborhood, or are there some other stores too?
You know, in terms of physical stores, it's probably one of the, you know, in terms of physical goods, it's probably one of the few that I would regularly, you know, use Bitcoin to purchase. But, you know, I'm always looking for opportunities to, you know, to spend Bitcoin locally. You know, my friends at the Oshi app here in, which is made here in Austin, you know, they have a map of local businesses that accept Bitcoin, yeah, yeah. And you know, and stuff, which is pretty cool. I try to go to those places when I can.
Cool,
awesome.
Hey, and now, yeah. When will you be able to row 5,000 meters in under 20 minutes, man? I saw the struggle on Twitter. I was struggling with you, man, on Twitter.
Yeah, it's a good question. I still have been doing a lot of rowing. You know, typically, you know, I'm just like trying to get to my, you know, 5,000 meters, like in my 30-minute, you know, window that I have, which is plenty of time. You know, so normally I'm just like rowing for 30 minutes and, you know, I end up further than 5,000, more like, you know, I don't know. I think I'm averaging like 68, you know, 100 or 7,000. You know, if I'm going to do a full 30 minutes, you know, and get 5,000 meters in 20 minutes, then, you know, I got to be going significantly faster, which is rough.
I'm
still a rowing noob for sure.
Ah, okay.
I'm sure I'm using terrible technique, you know.
Well, I also my dad had a trainer also, but it always hurt my back, right? Because when you start, you the form is okay, but when you get tired, you lean and then my back hurts as hell. So now I'm just using the treadmill and just doing some normal gym activities, but not using the row machine again.
Yeah. Well, I got into rowing because I needed surgery on my knee, which I actually had in December, last December. And, you know, so it was like one of the only few things that I could do to really get, you know, some sweat going and not put, you know, more, you know, not hurt my knee more, but I've kind of stuck with it. You know, I don't know. I enjoy it. That's good. It seems like I have less lower back, you know, issues, you know, if I keep up my rowing routine.
Okay.
So, you know, hopefully that trend continues.
Yeah. Hey, and the place where you would like to retire, I'm curious what it will be then. Some Bitcoin island place.
Yeah, you know, who knows what the world looks like in another, you know, couple of decades. I mean, I'm kind of,
right.
Just to start with, like, I don't really ever envision myself, you know, not like working on something that, you know, that I enjoy. Like, I think that's really important, just, you know, to do is to always be working on, you know, some way that you can contribute value and, you know, have something to, you know, that your mind can, you know, can be working towards. But I guess with that said, you know, I like Northwest Arkansas a lot, but like, I can't imagine, like moving there and living there, like retiring there permanently. You know, I guess I would say, you know, my goal is to have a few places to go.
That's
to,
better.
You know, perhaps Fayetteville is one of them, you know, I guess we'll see.
And
I still have family in Fayetteville. So, it's definitely, you know, reasons for me to go up there.
And is Brazil also on the list? Because you're a Brazilian, right?
No, I'm not.
I'm not
Brazilian. You know, in fact, I've never been to Brazil. It's a place that I want to go. My wife and I have done a fair amount of, you know, international travel, but we have not been, either of us, to South America yet. So it's definitely high on our list of next places to go.
Well, let's start with El Salvador then, right? Central America.
It is Central America.
But it's a good start, right?
For sure.
Meet up with Fiat Jeff.
Yeah, also high on my list. you know, in fact, I'm going to try to get down there at some point this year is kind of what I, you know, what I have in the back of my mind, but we'll see. I don't have it nailed down yet.
Cool. Okay, guys. Well, we prepared a lot of questions for you, but it has to be in a 21 minutes. We prepared some questions about Vida. And if we have some time left, we could also talk about the Lightning Protocol in general. But it has to be in 21 minutes. So if you are ready, Lyle and Edward, we would really love to enter that part. Are you guys ready?
Yep.
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
Connect the word.
Well, we talked a lot about Vida already, but how does the Vida platform exactly work? Can you explain the onboarding process if someone wants to use it?
Yeah, you know, onboarding on the Vida is pretty simple. You know, you can sign up with an email address or with a phone number or with an Oscar pub key. You know, pretty much any of those work. And once you log in, you know, you have a Lightning wallet and a Lightning address. That's pretty compatible with most other Lightning wallets and other Lightning addresses. You know, you configure your rate that you're willing to be contacted at. So that's like a message rate and a call rate. And then also, you know, we give you tools to host live streams and earn money from live streams, or, you know, turn podcasts into live experiences where Lightning payments and things like that are built into the experience. So, you know, Vida's, I guess I'll stop there.
No, you can just elaborate. It's no problem.
Well, you know, I you guys say you have a bunch of questions coming, so
that's right.
If you're off topic too much, you know. But yeah.
Okay, cool. Hey, what's the main target group of users for the Vida platform, and how are you planning to reach more users under no corners? Because there, we can't imagine, but there are still people that don't own Bitcoin yet.
Yeah. So that's, you know, we have a variety of strategies to address that. You know, one of the things we like to do at Vida is essentially create valuable tools, no matter if you're a, you know, if you're a Bitcoiner or not. So, for example, our Vida Live product, you know, does everything that a product like Restream would do, but it's totally free. You know, we also do things like stream forwarding that you would get from a product like Restream, you know, we also provide that totally free. So, you know, I guess you could say our 50,000 foot strategy is to provide useful tools for creators that people want to use, you know, whether they know anything about Bitcoin or not. I would say, you know, we're at the beginning of that journey. So a lot of our early users are Bitcoiners. But, you know, I'm a firm believer that we need more products that, you know, use and leverage Bitcoin and make Bitcoin more accessible to people, and less like Bitcoin products per se.
Yeah, and I think that really works because of course we know a lot of about streaming, but if you go to that subject and you're searching for a tool, Restream, you're talking already about it, is one of the tools that is most spoken about. And I think that for those utilities to make it interesting to use it is a different approach, because then you have the technology that someone wants to use on a fair play spectrum, and then gets in touch with the ability to get paid or to use Bitcoin or sats with Lightning. And I think that's an interesting thing to have all those technologies out there that Bitcoin can mangle with. And I think then more people will be curious and see all the possibilities that it has. So, because you're talking also about the Nostr compatibility or integration. So we're going to talk also about that.
Sure.
When looking, Lyle, at the Vida users, do you also notice different usage patterns or attitudes towards Bitcoin and Lightning within different parts of the world?
Yes. You know, but at the same time, you know, again, a lot of our early users are Bitcoiners. Yeah. And so I do find that there is, you know, a lot more interest in, earning sats online from people outside of the United States. You know, there's probably a variety of reasons for that. One is just, you know, it's harder to earn money in general, you know, outside of the United States, I guess. You know, I would say, especially in the longer tail, you know, of countries, you know, like Central America and South America and Africa and wherever. You know, so it's a combination of that, but also, I don't know, you know, Bitcoiners are worldwide. Like people just don't understand. Your average person does not understand how much of a global movement that Bitcoin is. And so it's kind of great to be able to launch a product like Vida and have people instantly use it from all over the world because it integrates with the Bitcoin network. So I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, sure.
A little bit.
And on your profile page, you state that you want to give 1 billion people their first Bitcoin by building Vida. Well, it can't be a full Bitcoin, but a couple of Satoshis.
Yeah.
Why is this so important in your opinion? And how is Vida going to help with this?
Yeah, well, you know, Vida is all about giving people tools to get paid in Bitcoin for their time, and then also giving people and brands tools to pay Bitcoin to, you know, for their attention, you know, or to contact them.
Yeah.
So if if you think about it, like the entire internet is built upon this concept of paying to reach people, right? You know, usually the method that a brand or a person uses to pay to reach somebody is through an advertisement.
Yeah.
You know, and these advertisements are run on centralized platforms, you know.
And very annoying.
Extremely annoying. You know, effectively what's happening is the value of your attention is being monetized, you know, by these platforms, you know, and sort of harvested, right, as a monetization strategy. I mean, you know, my sort of 50,000 foot view is that, you know, ads being the one and only, or the, you know, if we just think of it like a Pareto distribution, like the 90%, you know, 90% of apps online are monetized through ads. I think that's going to begin to change. And one reason is because the value of content produced by individuals is increasing, you know, every day, right?
Yep.
Like we can look at, for example, you know, somebody like Joe Rogan, right, who has a much bigger audience than, you know, anyone on any of the, you know, traditional media. You know, Tucker Carlson, you know, got fired from Fox and now he has a bigger audience, you know, that he controls. And so, you know, communication and online monetization, like the worlds of advertising and the worlds of communication are going to continue to sort of combine. And so at Vida, you know, we want to build the tools and build the platforms that help people sort of make this transition and sort of act as a bridge into this new world. Because, you know, if we can successfully do that, you know, there are, you know, the online ad market, right, is hundreds of billions of dollars a year, right? And so if we can provide tools that help brands reach people directly and pay them, you know, for reaching them directly, then we can potentially funnel billions of dollars in marketing budgets, you know, directly into giving people Bitcoin. And so to circle back to, you know, your original question, which is like, why do I think, you know, Vida, or how could Vida, you know, give Bitcoin to a billion people? Or why do I think that's a big important thing? It's because it's, you know, if you boil down what we're trying to do, we're trying to give people tools that let them monetize the value of their own time. The easiest way to do that is to enable brands and other people that value your attention to send you Bitcoin in exchange for it. And, you know, if we could do that in the same way that ads are prolific today, you know, then we can give a ton of people Bitcoin very quickly, which is important, you know, in the early days. Like, you know, as we move further down the S curve, it's going to be harder and harder to distribute significant amounts of Bitcoin, you know, to normal people in the world.
Yeah, that's right. Well, there are a lot of monetizing solutions already that are today for creators, like Fountain, Mesh, and a lot more. And we talked also to them, and it seems that Lightning integration also has the ability to ensure more quality content and raise the bar on that topic significantly. Do you also believe Lightning integration within Vida will incentivize also higher quality content?
Yeah, I mean, you know, fundamentally, we're just sort of we're all trying to better align the incentive of, you know, content, you know, content consumers and content creators. And so now that we have this technology, now that we have the ability to instantly settle value over the internet, then, you know, there are a lot better ways. We have a lot more opportunities to better realign those incentives and, you know, create platforms that aren't centralized and aren't walled gardens. Like if we think about, yeah. you know, how the money flows through the online economy, you know, ad spending is a huge centralizing force, yeah. you know, in the online economy, right? Because you have to have this centralized platform in order to essentially bundle up the eyeballs, you know, of all of your users, right? And then sell them to brands. And so, you know, the thing that we are all trying to do, you know, Fountain, Mash, you know, Vita, is to provide alternatives, you know, which better align the incentives between the creators and the consumers, you know, to try to offer alternatives which have just as good of a user experience, but, you know, without all of the centralized baggage.
Yeah. And in the context of Vita, what does the Noster integration bring to the table? How does it complement the existing services?
Yeah. Well, you know, beyond just making it really easy to sign up, you know, with a Noster key, like if you have your Noster key added to your Albi extension, for example, you know, when you land on Vita.live, we detect that and you give you a one button to, you know, to click to sort of log in. And because, you know, it's Noster, we can go and fetch your existing profile picture, you know, that you have configured, your account description, your Lightning address that you have on your Noster profile, you know, anything else, and we can just sort of import that into Vita and you're off and running, you know, without having to do anything else. But sort of on a bigger part of the vision is that we want our Vita rooms, our Vita live streaming rooms, and our paid DMs. Like we, you know, again, we're not trying to create a walled garden here. We're trying to change, you know, how brands and how people access other people's attention. In other words, you know, we're trying to start a circular Bitcoin economy, you know, in the digital world, right?
Yeah.
And it's really important that we're just not building another walled garden. And Noster provides a path for us to do that. You know, so something that we're working on is like integrating our Vita, you know, your Vita paid DMs to be compatible with just plain Noster DMs. And if somebody sends you a Noster DM and zaps it, and that zap amount is above your, you know, your rate, then that mm-hmm. DM will show up in your Vita account, right? And we hope other you know, Noster apps will sort of adopt that as well. Another example would be our Vita live streaming rooms. You know, there's a few efforts to sort of create the notion of a live event, you know, a live Noster event. And we're working very hard to integrate with those NIPs. I think one of them is like NIP 110, I believe is the most recent one. But you know, we don't want to be the only client, you know, that is facilitating these types of things. We want Vita live streams to be accessible from lots of other clients. And we want you to be able to use Vita to, you know, create and broadcast a live stream that can be consumed on other clients besides Vita. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, Noster provides a path for us to do that, you know, mm-hmm. without having to completely reinvent, you know, a wheel and sort of seed, you know, a network ourselves.
Yeah. And I'm thinking about the DMs. It's also pretty good to keep all the spammers out, right?
I mean, you know, think about it like this. You know, somebody is paying, you know, to put an ad in your Twitter feed, you know, or something like that, right? Somebody pays to put that in your feed with the off chance, you know, that you might see it, right, and take some sort of action, right? But if a brand could just pay to send you a DM that they know, you know, is open, you know, or they know is not open, then that's a much more direct way to put an offer, you know, in front of a, you know, in front of an individual. And so, you know, really a chat message, you know, can be just as much a DM like you would think of it, but it could just as easily be an advertisement, you know, for something or an offer, you know, for something. And, you know, maybe that like sounds weird and dystopian, like the brands, you know, could message you, but The thing is, it's a much more direct economic transaction that you get value from, and that the brand, you know, knows for sure if they reached you or not, you know, then essentially forcing you to look at all the stuff that you may or may not be interested in.
Well, it's spray and pray, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And you also can maybe, choose which what kind of advertisement you want to be sent to you. And if you don't want to have advertisements sent to you, you can also raise up the fee you're charging, right? I mean, then the company no longer wants to message you.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it realigns the power, in online marketing and puts more of it back into the hands of users for users to be able to sort of, control or at least have some knobs to turn to limit, you know, sort of what offers they're getting or not getting. So we do have quite a few changes sort of coming down the pipes in this regard. But, the gist is pretty simple, is that, you know, advertising and communication, like those lines, now that we have instant settlement, are going to continue to blur. You can even already see this in platforms like Twitter. Like, you know, Elon is even talking about things like paid DMs, and things like that. So in my opinion, the cat's out of the bag and, you know, the snowball is only going to continue to roll down the hill.
And do you think, Lyle, that the problems that the Damus app is having now with Apple, like being paid for content, that's the thing that they're having the problem with. Do you think this could also happen to Vida, for example, because there you also pay for content? So perhaps that's Apple will see that also as a big problem. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's potentially, you know, a problem for us. I found it, in my opinion, like, it doesn't make a lot of sense at all. Like, I kind of, if I had to put my money down, I would bet that they walk back, what they've done, although it could take some time. Yeah. Because fundamentally, there's just no difference in, you know, being a, they said you could keep the zap button on profiles, but you couldn't have the zap button on individual pieces of content, even though it goes to the same place and is exactly the same thing, right? Like, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. But, you know, it's one of those things that we all just kind of have to roll with the punches and, you know, do what we can, be the squeaky whale. But eventually I think that, you know, they're gonna come to their senses, at least. I hope they do.
And let's hope the voice of the masses is stronger, because Jeff also was saying, well, this content isn't handed over to the one who's tipping or who's zapping. So that's not the case.
It's a public post. It sounds like, you know, they got particularly mentally challenged reviewer or something like that, you know, but we'll see.
Maybe it's just one person.
Let's hope it's just a mistake.
I hope I didn't just offend that person, and, you know, now they like block all my updates.
We don't want that. No.
Hey, Vida's purpose seems to be built things that Bitcoiners really want. Could you elaborate on the key features that you think most appeal to the Bitcoin community, and how do you prioritize these in Vida's development?
Yeah, you know, I guess to circle back to something I said earlier, you know, we're trying to provide useful, you know, tools that any creator could use, but, you know, also bring, as a part of offering those tools, we want monetization to be, you know, sort of a part of the tools that we offer. So, you know, one thing that I personally don't like seeing is like, okay, you know, we as Bitcoiners are, you know, trying to build this other future, but we're still dependent upon, you know, YouTube, and we're still dependent upon things like Restream, you know, and, you know, I guess perhaps you could even say, you know, Riverside. So we're trying to provide the same types of tools that Bitcoiners use every single day. You know, Bitcoiners are producing content, recording podcasts, hosting live streams, hosting Twitter spaces, you know, every single day. So we're trying to provide alternatives to those same types of tools that work within the ecosystems that we're all sort of trying to build and promote. And that includes, you know, just the simple things that we offer: stream forwarding, HD local recording, you know, a video first, rooms that can be used like just like Twitter Spaces. You know, hopefully this picture will come more clear, you know, to our user base and our potential user base, you know, as we continue to release more products and functionality.
Well, about releasing functionality and projects, what are some key updates that you're working on as of this moment, and perhaps do you have planned for next year?
Yeah, well, as of this moment, you know, we've been working a lot on our stream forwarding to make it a lot better. You know, we have like investors and users that tell us every week that, you know, I really, you know, I just don't feel like I can stop using Restream quite yet, right? Because we don't have X or Y. So we're trying to close that gap. But one of our biggest efforts right now is our mobile app. Like our mobile app right now is honestly pretty bad. You know, we don't like it. It was sort of an initial proof of concept to get something out there. So, you know, we feel like we've been dropping the ball on our mobile experience. So we're spending a lot of time right now on that. In fact, you know, if anybody's listening to this podcast and you're, you know, a good React native person, you know, hit me up.
Cool. And are you planning to then release on iOS and Android at the same time?
Yeah, for sure.
With the new app? Cool. And are you
I was thinking about the possibility with Restream to simultaneously put the streams out. I'm using OBS with a plugin someone made. And of course, it's for your PC. It's a hard job, but it works. It works even for LinkedIn, for example. But of course, those features need to be more robust in the end. But well, let's hope Vida will be a great possibility to use it for that. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. And I hear the TikTok, and it means that we're already running out of time. So let's finish it up, because if I'm going to ask another question now, we'll put Lyle in a narrow position. So
we would love to have you back and then talk about Lightning Network as a whole.
Yeah, for sure. So happy to come back and discuss anything.
Cool, man.
I've really enjoyed it so far.
Yeah, great.
Me too.
Tiltnet. Well.
Yeah, we have actually one question left for you, Lyle. You may choose yourself. We have three questions prepared. One from Oscar Mary, he's from Fountain.app. Albert Bu, he's from NeutronPay. And Jesse De Wit, he's a developer at Breeze Technology.
So these questions are from these guys, and I'm these just questions are
from
the
these
persons.
Guys. Yeah, you can just need to
I can choose one.
Yeah, I guess I'll pick Oscar.
Sure.
Oscar.
That's what we thought.
Here he comes.
Hi, my name's Oscar from Fountain, and this is my question for you. If you had unlimited time and resources and a blank slate, what would you work on within the Bitcoin and Lightning space?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd be working on exactly, you know, what I'm working on now, you know, with Vida. You know, Oscar, LC, I guess the last time I talked with Oscar was 2 or 3 weeks ago. You know, love what they're doing at Fountain. In fact, he and I talked quite a bit about, you know, integrating Vida live streams into the Noster, into the Fountain.
Oh, cool. That would be nice. Yeah,
it's awesome. Which will be pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, Oscar and I, you know, we share a lot of, you know, the vision for sort of, you know, how monetization on the internet, you know, what it could look like, how value for value plays into that, you know, the downsides of sort of traditional, you know, advertising and things like that. And, you know, I wouldn't be doing anything different than what I'm doing now. Although I would, you know, I would like it if I had, you know, more of those unlimited resources to spend.
Well, let's ask you this then: if you had unlimited resources, so you could hire the team as big as you want, what will be the biggest feature you will release at Vida this year?
I think it would probably just move the needle in terms of like what we think we can actually get out in our mobile experiences. you know, like right now we're heavily dev constrained in terms of what we think we can, you know, accomplish in a mobile app and actually provide a really good experience around it over limited time. You know, for example, like, you know, do we think we can get, you know, all of the HD recording, you know, and live streaming functionality into a mobile app, like, you know, like we're using here in Riverside? Do we think we can do that, you know, in the next, you know, quarter or so? You know, no, we would need like a whole bunch more mobile developers and probably a few months to get them up to speed, you know? So
yeah,
it's kind of, you know, it's the same struggle you always have, you know, when you're building something new. And even if you have unlimited resources and people, you know, getting those folks aligned, you know, on the vision and on, you know, what, you know, on the pipeline and on what you were actually trying to do is, you know, is difficult, you know, regardless.
Yeah.
Good things need time. So that's, yeah. Hope you will succeed. It, yeah.
Well, thanks, man. Thanks for your answer.
Yeah.
Conecta el mundo.
Well, thanks, Lyle. can you maybe tell people where people can follow you? Can you maybe share the website of the project and your personal Twitter or whatever you
want? For sure. My Twitter is Lyle Pratt, LYLEPRATT. I guess you can find me at my Vita page, vita.page/LylePratt. And check out vita.live. You know, if you are a creator and you host a podcast and you need things like HD local recording and stream forwarding, you know, hit up vita.live and let us know, you know, if you need something we're not providing already today.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah, we're going to check it out also. And thanks for listening, everybody else. And thanks to all members participating in the Satoshi Radio Rings of Fire. And of course, thanks to everyone helping us to connect the world together. If you like our content, then please support us in our mission. Visit our website, connecttheworld.live, where you can also donate and subscribe, like, and share our content on your play favorite platform. We need you to complete our mission, connect the world. So keep those nodes running, sets flowing, and rings burning. And see you all next week on the same Lightning channel. Adios,
see ya.
Adios.